Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights.
Praise the Lord, all His angels. Praise the Lord, all His hosts.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Praise the Lord, all shining stars.
Praise the Lord, highest heavens, and all waters above the heavens.
Let him praise the name of the Lord, who commanded, and they were created.
He established them forever and ever, and fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed.
Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all depths.
Fire and hail, snow and smoke, stormy wind fulfilling God's command.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth.
Young men and maidens alike, old men and children.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name alone is exalted, whose glory is above earth and heaven.
God has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his faithful ones, for the people of Israel who are near their God. Praise the Lord.
Now for the New Testament reading from the book of Acts, chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles who had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why do you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times, then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered that man's house. He told us how we had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." Here ends the reading.
Much dressing to talk about. Hi, guys. You guys are buddies, aren't you? Oh, man, Brighton, you got a really bad boo-boo, huh? Wow, I got something that'll make it better, I promise. Nice. Super. All right, so do you guys have your thinking hats on today? What is that? Ranch what? Ranch dressing. And how do you know that? How do you know this is ranch dressing?
says it?
It says it where? On the front. Do you know what that front part is called? I'm looking for a special word today. It begins with an L. I love it. A label. Excellent. That is the word I'm looking for. A label. So I can know that there is ranch dressing in this because the label says ranch dressing. Right? Well, today I'm going to talk about labels on how Jesus labels us. Does he label us as ranch dressing? I hope not. We'd be in a lot of trouble. He doesn't really give us a label, does he? Do we walk around with labels outside of us that tell us who we are or what we are? Do you have a label? Hey, Brighton, do you have a label on? Nope. Do you have a label on, Jensen? Oh, now don't go searching for a label. How about right here? Yeah, a label here? Nuh-uh. How about Ella, do you think you have a label? Nope. Well, then how, for heaven's sake, can Jesus label us? Well, I think Roger, hopefully, is going to tell us a little bit later about how Jesus labels us with love. See, when we're full of love, we get to share it with everybody else. So our label when we love Jesus is that people will know that we love Jesus because we share our love with other people. Just like the label here with ranch dressing, I can share this with everybody because I know it's ranch dressing. Well, today I brought something for everybody to have and for something you to think about. Now, before I hand them out, this has got a label too. It does. Yes, it does. It's got a label, I'm telling you. On the outside of this, it says it's a
label.
Nope. Nope. The label is this funny part, but it says Tootsie Pop.
What?
Yeah. So it's a sucker. Yeah. The label tells us it's a sucker. Now, what happens when you suck on this Tootsie Pop? What's in the middle of it? It's okay, Aiden can have one. What's in the middle of it? Do you know what's in the middle of a Tootsie Pop? Do you guys know what's in the middle of a Tootsie Pop? What is it? Chocolate. It's awesome. The good stuff is inside. Would you agree the good stuff's inside? Right? Well, that's how we are. The good stuff for us is inside of us. And we have to share it with everybody that we see. We love people because Jesus loves us. The good stuff is inside. So I'm going to give everybody a Tootsie Pop after we pray. But Aiden's got us already beat, doesn't he? All right. Will you say an echo prayer with me? Dear Jesus, thank you for the label of love. Thank you that you see me with love. Help me to show others love every day, just like you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Super. Everybody take, they're small, but you can have two.
The next reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around their elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Here ends the reading. Chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Here ends the reading.
The new commandment in today's reading in John 13, Jesus is teaching his disciples about humility. He's teaching them about acceptance and love. Now, for a timeline thing, this particular passage occurs just after Jesus had washed the disciples' feet and after Judas had left to betray Jesus. Jesus' departure became the process by which Jesus was glorified by God. Jesus knew that Judas's actions would result in the victory, the final victory over sin and death. But the disciples didn't realize it, even though Jesus told them several times that he would die and rise again. Jesus was their source of comfort and strength, but he knew that they would have to learn and support each other after he returned to heaven. That's one reason why he issued the command to love one another. It's also a new commandment that we, as modern disciples, should follow as well. Loving people can be the most difficult thing to do for some of us. We can be patient. We can be just. We can be charitable. But how are we to conjure up in our hearts that warm sentiment of goodwill, which the New Testament calls love? Some people are so miserably unlovable. That person with the nasty cough who sat to you next to the movies? Those crude neighbors of yours with the barking dog and the trash all over their yard? The smooth liar salesman that took you completely last week? Or maybe it's just plain someone in your past who has hurt you in some way or another. By what magic are we supposed to feel towards these people? Our Lord is saying that his love for us will stimulate and awaken within us the ability to love other people. His love will be the measure, the cause, and the identification mark of authentic love for him. You might say we as Christians are under authority. This was a commandment. A new commandment I give to you, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. If we're all followers of Jesus Christ as a Christian, the child of God through faith, aren't we under that authority? Well, sure we are. We're not our own. We don't call the shots anymore. Jesus is more to us than master of our life. He's everything. He's our all in all. And what he wills and commands in this verse is that we love one another, that followers love each other. The new commandment I give to you, he says. It's not a suggestion. It's not an idea. It's not a possibility. But it's a commandment. So how do we love one another? And I like this. When you study the scripture in this verse, I found a lot of reading that was very interesting, and you can go a lot of ways with this. This is what struck me. So how do we love one another? Jesus had some simple words here. The words, as I have loved you. Simple words from Jesus. As in many places in scripture, the word as can be better translated as since. Since I have loved you in order that you might love one another. Here our Lord is saying that his love for us will stimulate and awaken within us to love other people. His love will be the measure, the cause, and the identity mark of authentic love from him. Our love, if we understand this and relate to us, can relate to this, will be like Jesus' love. It took the whole Gospels to tell of this marvelous, wonderful love of Jesus. Now, I was reading and studying this, I noticed three characteristics that are about love. The first one, it was without respect of persons. Let me explain that. Jesus did not love people who were nice to love, as we sometimes do. He chose to love the unloving, the people who are rejected, difficult to love, the ones who are looked down upon, held in contempt by society. He loved them, not because he wanted the good feeling of love, but simply because they needed love. And his love responded. This characteristic of his love, it goes out to people who need love regardless of what they are like, no matter how dirty, leprous, hurtful, proud, arrogant that they may be. It goes out because they need love. Jesus picked these people out without respect of persons. Secondly, I noticed that love is expressed in deeds, not just words. It will not be merely talk about love, singing songs about love, or calling oneself loving or showing it. Love will be expressed in deeds. Remember the Lord's words at the scene of the last judgment when the sentence was pronounced to those on the right hand of the judge. Enter into the kingdom that has been prepared, because when I was sick, you visited me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. Those are words from Matthew 25, 34, and 35. And what are those things? When I was sick, you visited me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. Those aren't just words. These are deeds. Deeds taught by Christ. Thirdly, it's a love without end. This is how John describes that love that he introduces the whole chapter of these words. Having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. He never gave up on them. He loved them as long as his love could do anything to reach them. And his love included even the one that betrayed him, Judas. The love of Jesus reached out to all. So here's what our Lord is teaching. It's those who learn to enjoy his love, who reckon on it, rejoice in it, feel the warmth of it, and remind themselves of it. Those who remember the fact that they do not deserve it, that they in no way have earned his love, but they have it anyway. That's that unconditional love Christ has for us. Life-changing love is authentic Christian love. For 2,000 years, our Lord has been demonstrating that he can do this with people. And not everyone who calls themselves a Christian displays this kind of love. Nevertheless, there are hundreds and thousands, even millions of those through the course of the centuries that have found this secret and to display a dramatic change of life. Rather than hard, arrogant, proud, contemptuous people, they have become softened. They become loving people. Rather than violent or angry or injurious, who strike back at everyone, through love, these people have become tender, loving, gentle people, because they've been changed by the love of Christ. This is what Jesus means by, "As I have loved you." Loving each other isn't necessarily a new command. As a matter of fact, it's mentioned in the Old Testament, in Leviticus. You should love your neighbor as yourself. What's new is that Jesus is now the pattern. We live by the power and we live on. I'm going to say that again. We live by the power of Jesus and His love, and we live on by the power. So in the first part of this pattern that Jesus lays aside, He lays aside the ranks and He gives us the privilege to serve others. The second part of this pattern is that His love involves practical deeds of helpfulness. In those days, almost everyone walked. They had sandals or no sandals. They had dirt paths. I'm sure they didn't have sidewalks and they didn't have socks either. Everyone's feet was more or less caked with dirt. The dirty work had to be done. Jesus did it for those who should have been doing it for Him. He washed His disciples' feet. He laid down the sense of entitlement and He served. The new commandment is that we look at this pattern. We watch our Lord and Savior and how He did this. And we should follow that example. Jesus is our power. And we should be living on His love. This leaves an angle of newness in this command to love one another. I called it not living out, but living on the love of Jesus. When Jesus says that the commandment to love one another is a commandment to love as I have loved you, He draws attention not only to the pattern of it, of love, but to the power to love that people need. Here's what I get from this idea. If you search the Gospels of John for the closest verbal parallel to the verses in 34, just as I have loved you, you have loved one another. The closest parallel is John 15. Just read a little further. It says there, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." But here, instead of acting out a pattern to follow Jesus, He describes a connection with Himself that gives power to love. So the newness of this command is to love like Jesus. It is not only the pattern of His behavior, but the connection and vital power, our connection to that power by being connected to Him. "The Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." So you see, the key to Jesus is love. Jesus said His love is a relationship with God the Father. That's the key. "I abide in this love." In verse 10 He says, Jesus lives in this constant and perfect union with the Father. The effect of the Father's love moves into Jesus, and He lives there as the divine power to love. And then Jesus says at the end of this verse, "Abide in my love." So He abides in the Father's love, and we should also abide in the Father's love. That's how we're able to love each other, as He loves us. He loves us by abiding in the love of the Father. We love each other by abiding in the love of the Son, which is the love of the Father. We can see the picture Jesus has in His mind in verse 5, where He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing." That's kind of where I got the power idea of His love. It's through that verse. Apart from me, Jesus says, you have no power to do anything. You can't love each other as I've commanded you, or you can't abide in me as I abide in the Father. So the newness of Jesus' commandment is not only that Jesus has become our pattern for love, but that He has become our power for love through those verses. If you're wondering what hour by hour abiding in Jesus really means, it means hour by hour trusting Him to meet all of our needs and to be our one and only supreme treasure. And we are confident that He will meet all of our needs and be our treasure. We are freed when we're empowered to humble ourselves and then able to meet the needs of others. This might lead to a question. Okay, how can we trust Him to meet all of our needs and be our treasure if we are sinners and deserve only the wrath from God and not love? Sometimes we beat ourselves up with that. I think the answer is given in this very text too, right after saying in John 15, "This is the commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." He says in verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Jesus could not leave us with only a pattern and only a power through the union by faith in Him. He went deeper to solve this problem. Whoever believes in the Son of the eternal life, whoever does not obey the Son, shall not see life. But the wrath of God remains on him. That was in John 3:36. Our problem is not mainly that we don't love like we should. Our problem is mainly that because of our sin, God's wrath remains on us. That's what that verse is saying. But how is it removed? It is removed. Why does God cease to be angry with us? And instead, why does He pour out His love into our lives through Jesus? There's answers in John 15 and 13. Jesus laid down His life for His friends. I like how that's worded in Scripture. He laid His life down for His friends. We're His friends. Jesus died in our place. We're the friends He's talking about too, not just at that time and that date. Jesus endured the wrath of God, the wrath that we deserved, so that God's justice would be satisfied and His love could flow unhindered through Christ in us and through us, each and every one of us. The commandment to love one another is also new because Jesus
scan
is the
has been completed.
The power. And He can be those for us, even though we are the sinners. But remember, the wrath of God has been removed by that love that Christ has for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, and we thank You for Your holy word that we've heard today. God, help us to be loving people to each other and to everyone that we come into contact with. Father, we thank You for commanding us to love others as You did. We thank You that You have showed us how to do that through Your Scripture. Father, please guide us, lead us, and give us Your power and Your strength to obey this commandment even when we are around those who are hard to love. Keep your words of this message in our hearts, in our soul, in our mind this week as we face a new day, a new tomorrow, a new week, new friends, new people. We love you, Lord, for the ultimate sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us this blessing of your Spirit to love one another. Father, we praise you and thank you. Amen. Bless you and keep. Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.